Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. 47 degrees and partly cloudy skies this morning. It's Wednesday, February 8th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The Sitka Fine Arts Camp is a finalist for a national grant. The Art Place Grant is a collaboration between private foundations and government agencies that includes the National Endowment for the Arts and six of the nation's largest banks. This year, the grant program is expected to distribute a total of $15 million to dozens of arts organizations across the country. The Sitka Fine Arts Camp, which operates under the nonprofit Alaska Arts Southeast, is one of 128 organizations in 68 cities to make the shortlist. There were more than 2,000 applications. Roger Schmidt is executive director of Alaska Arts Southeast. He says the goal of the money is to help create places for art to happen.
They decided that there was a really important role that art had in making a community be community livable and, if you will, lovable.
The Fine Arts Camp applied for a $350,000 grant. It hopes to use the money to make its 19 buildings more usable in the winter months. Schmidt says there's still $20 million of deferred maintenance on a historic campus that will require constant upkeep. The strategy so far has been to take one step at a time on campus, and the potential Art Place grant would be a big help.
It gives us some breathing room to get to the next step, get some more people on the campus doing more things. We've got a long road, but that would be a huge help towards making it on into year two and year three.
The trustees of the former Sheldon Jackson College donated the core campus to the Sitka Fine Arts Camp in February 2011. The 19 buildings fell into disrepair after the college closed in 2007. In its first year, the camp saw 20,000 volunteer hours and more than $500,000 in donations. Carol Coletta is director of Chicago-based Art Place. She says her group's mission is to develop artistic endeavors that make communities more vibrant. That vibrancy, she adds, can drive economic success.
Most communities, most mayors, most economic development officials now get the fact that talent is critical to their economic success. In other words, it's hard to be cheaper than many of the places we're competing with around the world. So you can offer tax incentives, you can try to offer cheap labor, but in the end, that's probably not a winning strategy. It's certainly not a sustainable strategy in the U.S. So then the question becomes, what else can we offer?
She cites studies that show people drawn to communities where there are things to do. Coletta cites the Sitka Fine Arts Camp as an example of building just such a place.
They're among the best in the country in terms of when they start to describe why they're doing what they're doing and what their theory of change, what they believe will change in that community as a result of what they're doing, is, I think, is just quite astonishing.
The grant winners will be announced in May. Coletta says, quote, "I'm looking forward to learning from Alaskans how to do this work better because they're doing it." Several Alaska Native organizations oppose parts of a legislative measure backing more sea otter harvests, but they support efforts to get Alaskans more involved in federal management of the once rare marine mammals. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Sea otters were almost wiped out by Russian and American hunters, but they've been reintroduced to Southeast and are expanding in number and range. Crabbers and divers say the voracious animals are decimating populations of crab and other shellfish they gather for commercial or subsistence use. Alaska Natives are allowed to hunt otters but face strict federal limits on how they are used. Full pelts can be sold to other natives. Traditional products, such as clothing or regalia, can be sold to anyone. Representative Peggy Wilson, a Wrangell Republican, authored the legislative resolution asking federal authorities to work with state and native leaders to allow more hunts.
We're hoping that the natives can do what they traditionally have done for years and that they can be able to harvest them, use their skins to make other things so that they can make money. And if we just keep it to them, we're not going to over-harvest by any means of the imagination.
Wilson's resolution supports allowing whole pelts to be sold to non-natives, which is now illegal. She recently told the House Resources Committee that would boost harvests and lessen impacts on fisheries. Tlingit Haida Central Council President Ed Thomas says the change could create problems.
The biggest threat is that if we were allowed to sell those pelts unaltered, you can pretty much guess, if you look down here on South Franklin, that they would come back as authentic native crafts made in Taiwan.
Thomas supports other parts of the resolution calling for a new federal management plan that increases otter harvests. So does Rosita Worrell, who spoke on behalf of the Alaska Federation of Natives, Sea Alaska Corporation, and the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. Sea Alaska and tribal governments in Sitka and Petersburg are among those trying to expand pelt processing. Worrell says they're providing training and equipment needed to support a growing cottage industry.
We see sea otters as just one answer to trying to promote sustainable economies in our communities.
She says the current law is interpreted too narrowly. She wants native craftspeople to be able to make and sell a wider variety of otter products, such as teddy bears.
We have a number of our people that have been cited. We've complained vigorously about the enforcement practices. We have advanced ideas of co-management. But our idea really was to change the marine mammal law that would allow for the sale of contemporary items.
House Joint Resolution 26, Wilson's measure, was introduced last year. Its first hearing was February 3rd in the House Resources Committee. It remains before that panel. If passed, it will be sent to Alaska's congressional delegation and the Secretary of the Federal Department of the Interior. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
You can read the bill and link to other sea otter information at our website, kcaw.org. A Portland, Oregon-based shipbuilding company is purchasing Alaska Ship and Dry Dock, which operates the Ketchikan Shipyard. Vigor Industrial is planning to finalize its purchase of ASD on or before March 1st. The sale must first be approved by the Alaska Industrial Development Authority. Deanna Garrison reports.
Vigor Industrial is one of the country's largest owners of shipyards and shipbuilding facilities. The company owns the 60-acre Swan Island Shipyard in Portland, Oregon, the Harbor Island facility in Seattle, as well as operations in the Washington communities of Tacoma, Everett, Bremerton, and Port Angeles. Phone calls to Vigor representatives were not immediately returned on Tuesday. In a written statement, Vigor owner and CEO Frank Foti says his company sees, quote, a tremendous opportunity to work with Alaska residents to grow maritime jobs and industry from Oregon to the Arctic. With the acquisition of ASD, Vigor will employ around 2,000 workers, own a total of 7 facilities in Alaska, Washington, and Oregon, with 10 dry docks and more than 17,000 feet of pier space. Doug Ward, director of shipyard development at ASD, says ASD president and owner Randy Johnson didn't make the decision to sell lightly.
He's put his heart and soul into that company and really does think that we, his workers, are his family. And it wasn't an easy decision for him.
Ward says Johnson decided to sell because Vigor is better positioned to grow the shipyard and capitalize on future opportunities.
This business is extremely risky, very complicated, takes enormous resources and talent. To compete in the global market really does require more than a small business approach. Now, we could, you know, stay a single business, and Randy's not selling because he has to, but he's selling because he wants to see Alaska Ship and Dry Dock and the Ketchikan Shipyard expand and truly become a premier marine industrial facility in the Pacific Northwest.
With around 120 employees, ASD is one of the largest private employers in Ketchikan. Ward says Vigor intends to maintain the current workforce and, if anything, would be adding employees over time.
One of the reasons Frank and Vigor want to be in Ketchikan is the productivity of our workforce. So they are not going to make any changes in that workforce. If anything, we're going to add to it, and everyone that's there that wants to stay can.
Adam Beck, current general manager of the Vigor Marine subsidiary's regional operations, will take over as ASD president. Beck worked at the Ketchikan shipyard for 5 years until 2006 when he took a job with Vigor Industries. Johnson will continue working for the company in the capacity of vice chairman. ASD will keep its name and will operate as a Vigor Industrial subsidiary. Terms of the sale have not been made public. Originally owned by the Alaska Department of Transportation as a repair yard for ferries in the 1980s, ownership of the Ketchikan shipyard was ultimately transferred to the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. ADA contracted with ASD to operate the facility in 1994. Since that time, ASD has secured millions in state and federal grants to construct new dry docks and most recently a new $41 million ship assembly hall. In recent years, ASD expanded its business to include shipbuilding. In September, the Alaska Department of Transportation announced that it had selected ASD as the construction manager and general contractor for the new Alaska-class ferry. In Ketchikan, I'm Deanna Garrison.
Alaska won't have an official state firearm anytime soon. Senator Charlie Huggins, who last year proposed making the pre-1964 Winchester Model 70 30-06 rifle, has withdrawn the legislation. The bill never got a hearing and failed to gain any traction. In sponsoring the bill, Huggins said the rifle was used by hunters, trappers, Alaska Natives, and pioneers during Alaska's formative years. He also said the Model 70 is well-built and reliable and carries enough stopping power to be useful in a crisis situation. Sun weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for rain likely, highs around 50, southeast winds 15 to 25 miles per hour with higher gusts in exposed areas. Tonight, rain, lows around 38, and tomorrow, rain, highs around 46. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Thanks for joining me. Have a good morning.